What's up? It's your man Chuck, resident member of the Parody Squad, and it's about to get active. And you got my co-host.
It is your girl Mikasa, your resident badass checking in still. And this week got live as fuck. And you are listening to another episode of Black on Time. We also wanted to apologize for a late episode this week. I had a little airport traffic going on yesterday, so I wasn't able to watch the episode until really late. So you're getting the episode just later than expected, so forgive us.
Yeah, it's going to be worth the wait, though.
This episode was definitely worth the wait.
Oh, man. So the episode was worth the wait. I think that this whole second half of the season, like every episode is going to be worth the wait that we had to endure. Mm-hmm. But were you having any buffering? Well, you didn't watch it when it came out that night, but have you had any buffering issues with this new season?
No, I haven't. Are you watching on Hulu or what are you watching?
I'm watching on Hulu.
I haven't had any issues, but I do know that the Crunchyroll people see it a few hours earlier. And I was kind of thinking, like, should I get Crunchyroll?
See, I mean, should get Crunchyroll for other reasons than Attack on Titan.
True.
But, like, when I was watching it, because I was watching it on Hulu, and it was like, I had to keep pausing it and going back, and I was like, y'all can't be doing this to me, not while all of this stuff is going on, like, because then it's like I felt like I kept missing something, so I had to go back and watch it. But I've been seeing other people have those issues too, so I was wondering if you was having any issues.
I was just about to say, I remember more having issues last season or last part one, just because I was watching it like immediately when it was coming out at 2:45 Central Time, and so it was sometimes a little buffering issue, but because I didn't watch it till 9:30 last night, it was like, you know, I was like a kid at Christmas. Like, I was smiling at the beginning. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy.
You were smiling at the beginning.
Yeah, I was also lit. So, yeah, it was just like intense. Now it's like smiling, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, but smiling, like, oh my gosh, like, actually seeing this animated was like, I don't know, it was kind of surreal.
Gotcha. Well, with that being said, you want to get into the episode?
Yes, let's. So this episode starts as a continuation from last week. You know, I'm not going to say that I enjoy those in anime, just because that does happen quite frequently where, you know, picking up where you left off and it's not a preview. It's like part of the episode. So you're like, okay, I got to watch it now. But the episode kind of started back off with the continuation from last week where, you know, Young Capone was basically begging them for assistance for Aaron. And so we see Mikasa, Armin, John, and Connie and Young Capone in the basement. And Armin is the main one rallying for Aaron. Everyone else is looking like, I don't know. And so, you know, Armin
they
is basically
shit about Aaron.
I mean, I feel like it could have been worse, honestly, compared to like just the what Aaron's been doing anyway. Like, they could have talked worse shit about him. So
we'll
let them have those moments, especially while he's not here to slap the shit out of them. So, because I mean, if it's a fight going toe to toe, everybody losing in that basement. So, you know, Armin's is like, y'all, come on. Like, you can't think that, you know, this is Aaron is really going to euthanize, you know, everybody in Parody. Like, that's just not who Aaron is. And everybody's just like, we don't really know who Aaron is anymore. And, you know, Armin's like, Mikasa, like, what do you think? And, you know, Mikasa's just like, I mean, Aaron got me thinking, I don't even know anymore. And so, you know, that's just a completely different role for her, or I guess a different set of emotions, I would say, for Mikasa, because, you know, if anything she's been sure about, she's been sure about Eren. And, like, for her to be in a situation where she's unsure, you know, it's just really new for her. So I can understand, like, you know, the emotions that she's going through right now. And so, you know, Armin's pleading Eren's case, and tension is, like, appearing on everybody's face, like, even on Young Capone's face. And then, like, the silence is broken by Nico. Is it Nico or Niccolo?
Niccolo.
Okay, because I was like, am I thinking about Piccolo? But okay. Niccolo. And, you know, Tasha's dad asked Niccolo, like, so can we go now? And, you know, Niccolo,
that was,
like,
that was funny. But the bronze was like, we ain't for all y'all drama. Can we just get out this cell?
Why am I in this? Like, you know, they thought they was here for a dinner, and then, like, this then snowballed to the point of no return. So that was hilarious. But yeah, Nilo's like, okay, can you hold on just a bit longer? Like, you know, we got a lot of shit going on right now. So Jean is saying, like, you know, he knew Eren was fucked up, but, you know, he's not necessarily wanting him to die at this point. So, like, you know, he'll help him, but, you know, him and Connie, like, well, we still want to go toe-to-toe, so we're going to help him just so we can get to the bottom of this and figure out, like, what is actually going on, because really no one understands, like, what is going on in Eren's head. And I really wish that he would have expressed that with people who cared about him the most, but, you know, here we are. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, because you talked about Jean and Connie. It was just really funny, their reasoning. Because, like, like, I can't punch him in the face if he dies out there. So let's go stay this dude so I could beat him up later. Mm-hmm. Connie being fed up is just so funny.
It really is, because also, you know, we're so used to Connie being carefree and lighthearted. But, like, you know, without his counterpart, I can understand just how, you know, everything's changed since Sasha, you know, was killed. So I get it. And so, after they all agree, like, begrudgingly, yes, we'll help him, on Young Capone was like, okay, let me lead you guys upstairs. Like, it's his house, but, you know, anyway. So they go up the longest set of stairs. And, like, while this is happening, Mikasa's, you know, still questioning everything. And she's just like, why would Eren say all of those things to us if it wasn't true? And, you know, Armin is like, well, you know, and he's thinking of their flashback and everything. And you also have to realize Armin is also a Titan. So, you know, the things that I think that he's thinking, and he's also really intelligent, the things he's thinking is not necessarily always easy for him to put into words, especially to other people, people who he really cares about. And so, you know, he is trying to convince Mikasa, like, you know, we know who the real Eren is. But I feel like he's also trying to convince himself, like, you know, I really hope this isn't, you know, worse than what we actually think it is. And so they're running up the steps, and outside, we cut to outside where it's complete mayhem outside. And you see McGaff in his little speech about how this is really Tiber's sacrifice. I'm like, is it? But, you know, we already know that Willie Tiber gave his little spiel to McGaff, basically, like, you know, make me your sacrifice, make me your hero, if that's what you got to do to get, you know, everybody on your side or whatever. So after that, we see Reiner impale Eren again. And then Reiner's monologuing. Who wants to hear that? No one.
Nobody. Skip.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, Reiner. Anyway, so Reiner's monologuing. Reiner's monologuing and telling Eren that he suffered enough. And I'm like, at your hands, might we add, but okay, that seems like something that you lost in translation. And he and Eren uses the Warhammer power to push Reiner back, push Reiner and Porco back, body both of them. And so Reiner is trying to understand why Eren is struggling. And I'm just like, you, if anyone should know, it should be you, but brains isn't, you know, his forte. So Reiner, you know, is trying to understand why Eren is struggling and fighting back, and, like, he's trying to push Eren's head. I guess crush Eren's head. And so, you know, Eren's not going down without a fight. Like, he's fighting back. And so then Eren uses Warhammer arm to kind of break Reiner's jaw. And so Reiner, at first I thought it was Reiner that was screaming in like agony. And then I realized that this is Eren that is screaming. And it's like reverberating through the entire city. Like everybody's like, whoa. And I'm like, I'm really glad that he doesn't have the founding Titan powers, because everybody would have been kablooey Titan. So, you know, he's just yelling. And then we see our Wonder Boy from up top coming in to save the day in a very flashy form. And he apologized to Eren for being late and said, leave the rest of your big brother. Because, you know, of course, people with those daddy issues and parental issues are looking for any type of connection and love and stuff. And what you can tell, Zeke is trying to be, you know, sincere, because he didn't have that. And so then that enters in our very late opening. And I don't even think we've had an opening this late come into Attack on Titan. So I kind of like that too, because, you know, they did let the momentum build before they dropped it. So kudos to them.
See, and this is kind of the second week where they just put the intro in after some action.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just want to touch on some things, the action right quick. Cause like, you know, in the middle of all of old sad Blondie's monologue, he was like, I don't know why I ever thought that me and you were the same, to Eren. And I'm like, I don't know why you thought y'all was the same either, because y'all don't have any of the same qualities except y'all can both turn into Titans. Like, yeah. You're not driven the same way that Eren is. You don't have that determination. I don't even know if you care for your friends. And I kind of am wondering that about Eren at this point. Mm-hmm. But like, y'all don't have that many similarities. You were just, I think Reiner looked up to Eren, and that's part of the reason why he wants to defeat him so bad, because he looked up to him. And
I can see that.
Now he's just like, oh, you're not the guy I thought you were, but you still can't beat his ass. But you still like, and so just that whole thing about Reiner kind of, it stuck out to me and it annoyed me a little bit, because I don't like that dude.
I get that. And also, Reiner is one of the people that acts out of fear, more so like Eren acting out of his own determination and his own, you know, this is something he sees. And this is like, you know, his dream was always to be free. And, you know, he was tired of being trapped. Like, he felt like he was in a birdcage. Also, we'll see that symbolism later in the episode, which I really did like. And, you know, his goal since they were kids was always to be free, because they were always trapped. And, you know, that even has parallels with the Eldians that were in Liberia. But Reiner always, you know, was basically acting out of trying to give validation for himself and feel validated. And, you know, not necessarily the same for Eren. So it was more so like, you know, two sides of the same coin, but fighting for different things, even though their circumstances were very similar, their personalities right. were so different, and like their wheels for life were so different as well. So
yeah, for sure. So after the intro, and then this episode is called Sneak Attack, and mm-hmm. it leads into Zeke's sneak attack. But you know, as we've all seen the episode, there are several different sneak attacks in this episode, so I thought that was kind of cool.
But I did too. Mm-hmm.
Zeke pops up over the wall, and he's like, yeah, I'm here, brother. And then he just goes full Randy Johnson and starts just taking out Marley's supposed advantage. And yes.
Who is Randy Johnson?
Oh, he's a pitcher that he has one of the hardest fastballs ever. Like
currently or like in life?
In life. Like the famous moment for Randy Johnson, he was pitching and a bird flew in front of home plate and he pretty much killed the bird. Like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, he had an arm. He had an arm.
Well, I guess there's more symbolism with that bird being killed by Randy Johnson. At first, when you say his name, I thought he was a wrestler, but I was like, okay, let me actually figure out who this is, because I'm pretty sure there's other people who may listen that don't know who Randy Johnson is either. So a lot. I mean, sometimes you can't be an anime nerd and a sports nerd like you, so you gotta bring the groups together.
Well, he too is a big hairy white guy that throws the ball.
Okay.
So it fits, you know.
Yeah, it really does. Just because you own it, man. Okay, okay. My bad.
Oh no, nah, you good. So Zeke comes and he's knocking all the blimps out the sky. With all
airships.
Airship blimp.
We call them blimps, but they call them airships, but yes.
He knocks all the blimps out the sky. Mm-hmm. And as he pops up, you see Magath and Peek, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on with Zeke? Because they're like, dang, he messed up all of our plans. Mm-hmm. So Zeke, he even takes aim at them. And of course, you know, the Stallion Titan is always ready. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to move out the way. Duking it out with him is not that smart. And we just see why it's not that smart, because Zeke is taking out the entire Marley forces. Like, you have the soldiers that are on the roof. He's throwing rocks at them. You have Peek and Magath, who he just threw rocks at. And Aaron is just trying to work his way to him this whole entire time. So it's like really kind of interesting to see how Zeke is just wrecking the place. And Aaron's like, okay, this is my chance to go for it. Like, this is my chance to do what I have to do. And while all of this is going on, Gabby and Colt, sorry, self, are like, well, let me rephrase that. Colt's like, I'm gonna go rescue Falco. And Gabby's like, I'm gonna go with you because I'm at the top of my class and I done got him in all this trouble, which she's still thinking about being at the top of her class, which, I mean, I guess it's your really only accolade since you've been pretty much bred to be a child soldier. But that's really all she's focused on. So they get ready to go do that as Zeke is still wreaking havoc outside. And we get to go down and we see where, what did I call him?
Well, we're going to pause on that. But we didn't talk about the fact that Pete, you know, dodged. But also we saw the second rate scouts coming to flank Pete with their Lord Bitch in tow flock. And then, like, on top of that, Gabby was like, let's go fight the Titans. And then Colt's like, what? No. Like, that's not our fight. Like, we can't do anything. Like, you're literally children. What do you think? Like, you've seen grown people get bodied by the Titans. What do you think that you are going to do? Like, you're not even a Titan yet. So it's like,
this is why? The girl who thought that she was going to stop this whole revolution with just a shotgun.
Well, you're right. Points were made.
So I don't think that cognitive strategy is really just high in her forte. She's just she's a lot like Aaron in that sense, even though Aaron does be scheming. She's a lot like Aaron in that sense where, oh, I think I can go do it, so I'm going to go do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Colt, who he's trying to be, he's older, he's a little bit more rational. So of course he's gonna like tell her, like, nah, girl, this ain't mm-hmm. up. Let them take care of that. But I just kind of think that that's where Gabby's thinking is coming from. And I completely forgot about Bitch Ass and the other little followers, because why, who is you and why is you here? Like, you're not about to do nothing. Like, they think they about to run up on Pete, but really, you think you're going to just take down the Stallion Titan by surrounding her on both sides by doing a pincer move?
No. Exactly. Like, she ain't been there before.
Like, what? Girl, please.
So that leads us to our prison scene where we go downstairs to the wine drinkers that are locked up. And now we see is showing sympathy to Falco. And, you know, he's talking to him about family. And, you know, they both have family. And he's encouraging Falco to use this opportunity to basically go back to Marley. And it's kind of interesting to see Niall in this regard, because just how he was with Commander Irwin before Irwin's death, you know, he was so hard. And he acted like him and Irwin did not grow up together. And, you know, he just didn't care. And so it's interesting seeing him in this light and, you know, how he really only cares about his family when it was with Irwin. You know, Irwin was like, you know, don't you got two daughters and a wife, you know? And it's just like, it, that wasn't in his forefront during that time frame. But it's so interesting to see that that's in his forefront currently, as he thinks about death and, you know, how he's probably going to be turned into a Titan and all of these things. And so he's actually thinking about his humanity at this point. So I thought that was very interesting to see. And then we see the OG scouts run up the steps to where they see this weak Jaegerus that's guarding them.
The Jaegerus are so pussy.
They really are. And so they're really just fodder for Aaron. Just, you know, so he doesn't have to be the one to take. They can just take out these little cronies right here. So he tries to tell them, like, you know, this is property of the Jaegerus. Like, you can't leave. I mean, John, who's obviously over 6 feet, gets in this boy's face and was like, now, who's not going to do what? Like, you know, you don't you want us to help your Lord and Savior, Aaron Jaeger? And so, of course, he's off. So he opened up all the cells and let everybody out. And so, like, we see a battered Commander Stadis. And then we see Pixis. And, you know, Pixis is straight so far. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Pixis, you know, basically brings in all the locked up garrison unit and the, I would put the MPs together that were there, and lets them know, like, you know, we only have limited ODM gear. So if you are not one of the wine drinkers, you need to get the ODM gear. Everybody else, you're going to have to be fodder, and you're going to have to basically, you know, do what you got to do to help Aaron, because at this point, Marley is the enemy. You know, obviously, we don't really know what Aaron's intentions are, but Marley is the obvious enemy right now. And so, you know, Pixis is like, well, that's who we need to go take care of, because they in our homeland. So then we cut to Mikasa's number one fan.
And
this, you know, Mikasa saved this girl when she was little. And I think, I don't know if this was in Trouse when they were there, but she saved her from a Titan.
It was when Archant was pushing the cart through, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so she's like Mikasa's number one fan because, you know, she sees Mikasa as a savior. So Mikasa obviously has no interest in this young lady. She's really thinking, you know, just what her predicament is right now. So, like, Mikasa's taking her scarf off and, you know, putting it down. And I understand the sentiment because, you know, she's still thinking, like, if is this something that I'm being forced to do? Is this something that, you know, am I doing this against my free will? You know, all these things are going through her head as her fan is like, so you take your scarf off, you know, and you can already tell she eyeing that scarf. Like, she trying to take it and take a piece of it and cut it and put it in her little Helga Hayana closet. So you can tell she a little freak. So Mikasa puts her scarf down. And then we get this cool ass shot of
it was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Oh man. You talking about when they walking up the stairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is showing each one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like shining on them. And they just look cooler than they've this is the coolest that they've looked.
Mm-hmm. Mappa did that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did the They put their whole my pussy into that scene.
Escalated quickly. But yes, so that takes us to, you know, Aaron trying to approach Zeke.
Yeah. So after we get that cool shot, and then, like, there's just actually a lot of cool shots.
This whole little section is.
Because they walk out onto the crazy lady yelling them. Mm-hmm. And she's really into everything that Zeke is doing with taking down airship, the little Goodyears. So you got all of the blimps, airships on fire, and Yelena is just looking at them in the Jesus Christ pose that, you know, you seen at the end of the scene last week. And she's just like, yes, like, oh, we're doing this. Because, you know, she feels that the Jaegers are just God's gift to Earth, literally. And you just see all of this destruction and Yelena at, and it's just like all so crazy to see, because that's the first thing that the OG scouts see when they come up from the stairs. Mm-hmm. So Yelena's talking about history. Like, I really, this is the scene, like, you realized it before, but this whole scene, whole process, this whole thing is when you realize that Yelena is really batshit crazy. But you have Aaron going to Zeke because they need to touch so they can do whatever Aaron and Zeke plan to do. And you have Reiner and Porco trying to run up on him, but Zeke is playing really good defense. And it's funny because Reiner just got his face, his jaw ripped in half, like, right? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm still trying to get Aaron. I'm sneaking from behind. And Zeke's like, no, 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 not on my watch. And just takes him out with another fast pitch. And so it's really funny because Connie's like, it looks like Reiner's the one that needs help, not
right.
Aaron.
He's like, now who are we coming to help?
Are we sure?
Right, because he's like, Aaron seems to be, you know, doing okay. Everybody else seems to be embodied, but okay.
Right. So Reiner is experiencing all of that, and they're just the scouts, Armin, Mikasa, and Connie and Jean. They see this, and Armin's like, okay, so no, we need to go help them do this because we really need to. And then Yelena's just looking with this. I'm pretty sure you've seen the memes on Twitter by now, but Yelena's just looking at Armin with this twisted up face. So yeah, this, you can tell Yelena is clearly unhinged during the scene, because after she's looking at Armin with the twisted face, and Yelena, she's like a good Amazon, so she's like a good 7'2". So she's just towering over Armin. And as she's looking at Armin, she's like, you can see the other scouts, they like start to pull out their weapons because they like, you ain't about to touch our boy now. Like, that's what's not gonna happen. But then she's like, yeah, I believe in you. So can you go please help Zeke and Aaron? Because they need some help. But speaking of people that need help, Jean, and I forgot to mention it, but Jean, when Zeke pulled up, because Jean knew that Hanji and Levi had been escorting Zeke away, and they had captured him. So to see Zeke on the wall, Jean was very shocked. So him and the rest of the scouts were rightfully worried about what happened to Hanji and Levi. And Yelena was like, well, I guess that he defeated them because he told his brother that he's going to be at a certain place at a certain time. He's surely there. So they are digesting all this news as they see these scenes of war, which they've kind of become accustomed with at this point in time. And then they just hop into action and they just take right off because that's what they do. So they have their thunder spears and their swords and all of that stuff. And then it cuts to Colt and Gabby running to go save Lord Pretty Falco Jody.
That enters us with Colt and Gabby running through town, and they have no plan outside of the fact that they are just wanting to save Falco. And so they're outside of the building where Falco is being held. And then we also see that the people that were in prison with Falco are being let out because, you know, they have their separate mission that Pixis gave them. So at that point, they are hiding behind the wall because they saw the OG scouts dipping out. And as that was happening, that's when everybody was being laid out. And so Gabby's looking, and then of course they see Falco, and you know, they're still in enemy territory. So they like, we gotta hide, we've been seen. And so, you know, Falco gasping too. And now like, what's wrong? He's like, it's my brother. And the fact that Falco even feels comfortable enough sharing that with the quote unquote enemy, like it lets you know that he's built some kind of trust with Niall. And so now I was like, okay, I'm about to go lock this prisoner up, you know, while we're about to go. And they're like, okay, don't take too long, man. And so it's so funny because like before that even happens, you hear like some soldier number one and soldier number two talking. And they're like, hey, it's crazy out here. It's nowhere to hide. They're like, we're not supposed to be hiding. We about to go fight. And I'm like, that boy was not trying to do that. He's like, I'm not doing that. But
I mean, but that's the MP been on. They ain't never been trying.
True. That is very true. But I mean, they were the smart ones, quote unquote. So I mean, trying not to die is pretty smart. So they after that happens, they Niall is taking Falco over to where Colt and Gabby are hiding. And you know, Colt was like, I'm gonna do it. Like he was really about to try to kill now because he couldn't assess the fact that this man Lally acted like he was gonna bring Falco because he was trying to help Falco. And so Gabby, you know, told him like, hey, no, put your gun down. And so Falco and Niall come around the corner and Niall's like, this ain't no place for a kid. Y'all need to go home. And he's right. It's not a place for a kid. And so they start running, obviously, booking it out of there. And so then as they're running, they hear Niccolo and Tasha's family. And so they try to hide. They run into this place that I don't know if it's a birdcage shop or it's just a house that they make birdcages in the home. But they run into this home. And they see all these bird cages. And, you know, of course, that's a lot of symbolism for parody people because, you know, they want to be free like birds. And, you know, there's so many bird imagery in Attack on Titan. Even in the opening scene, you see so many bird imagery.
For years.
Yeah.
I remember the birds were really big in the first part of this season when Falco was looking at the bird.
And that's also, never mind. But yeah, so that is, you know, I like that little symbolism that they had going on. So, you know, they're hiding in this room and you can hear Sasha's family, you know, talking about how they hope Mia and Ben got out. Cause at this point, you know, they still don't know Gabby Falco's real name. And so they were saying, I hope, you know, me and Ben get out. And of course, Sasha's parents were like, if we know those, they'll be okay. And so, you know, Gabby stood up and I don't know if she stood up, what she stood up for, what was going to happen mentally in her head. And then, you know, she heard Kyra saying like, why do we care about them? Like, you know, they killed Big Sis. And she was like, I want to kill her.
Keep the hate
like,
alive.
No, for real. And I'm like, well, I mean, she has a point. And then even Gabby, you know, you could tell like, she like, well, yeah, I did kill her family. And so, you know, Gabby starts to come to terms with what, you know, how she actually contributed to this. And so she said, you know, she tells him, she was like, there weren't any devils. There were just people here. And that was like her turn around the propaganda corner of, you know, being brainwashed basically the last 12 years of her life thinking like these are devils, you know, but you're a devil by extension as well. And so if these people are devils, then, you know, what does that make you? And so Colton, you know, is looking like shocked that Gabby's even saying these things. And, you know, he's like asking her how she knew that now wasn't a threat. And she's like, I don't know. And, you know, she was like apologizing for even involving Falco in this. And she was like, I mean, you knew better. And I still dragged you into this and stuff. And so she's breaking down. And then she's like, Reiner was right. Like she even saying Reiner was right. But she also understood the undertone where Reiner was saying when he was talking to the family and everything. Because so she's in this position now. She understands more because she's, you know, dealing with it on her own. Right. And so She apologized, you know, for everything. And then Falco actually admits that he's the reason why the raid was even successful, because he helped Aaron, you know, send messages out to his comrades. And so, you know, he feels very guilty for that, because he basically was saying, like, those people that died, their lives are on me. Like, I'm responsible for this. So he's taking, like, this sad because, like, as a child, he's taking responsibility for this. And, like, you know, he was just trying to be a good person. That wasn't his intent. And so I can understand, like, you know, he was just trying to help a veteran, and he really helped organize, you know, a whole
overthrow of the government.
Cool. Yeah. So, you know, I can understand how that's been weighing on him for a while, especially since he's been on Parody. And so after he, you know, admits that, he also says, well, might as well let me throw, you know, my hat in the ring and let Gabby know that he's in love with her. And so her and Colt looking at each other back and forth. And they like, what the fuck? Like, you know.
Colt act like, why are you?
And that's true. But it's like, we're also in the middle of war. And like, you know, and she's like, why would you say that? And he was like, well, I'm going to turn into a Titan probably. And I don't want you to not know that before I turn into a Titan. And so that happened, and then...
So cute. But, like, sorry, but Falco shooting his shot was hilariously cute and funny, and it was kind of like, you know how, like, every episode kind of needs that lighthearted moment? That was that was that for me.
I wouldn't even call it shooting his shot, though. I feel like it was more so, like, a deathbed confession. Like, hey, I just want you to know this just because, you know, what's going to happen to me, who knows? And so I feel like that's more so what it was, not like, hey, I'm telling you this because I really think that I might have a chance with you. But she ripped his little armband off, which was symbolism for, you know, earlier, last part where, you know, he had took his alien armband off, and she was like, I'm not taking mine off. And, you know, she ripped that wine drinker armband off, and I was just like, look at her getting a little conviction about herself. And so Colt strangely thinks that if they go tell Zeke that Falco drank the wine with his spinal fluid, that he would actually save Falco. And it's confusing to me, because I'm like, Colt, do you not understand the optics that are going on right now? Like, Zeke is not on your side. And the fact that you think that he's going to save Falco is really interesting to me. So,
that yeah. Boy, like,
that's putting it politely.
But I mean, like, I really, that's my only rationale for why he could be silly enough to think that telling Zeke that, oh yeah, this kid drank some little wine too, that would stop him. Like, that's just one person, one Titan. Zeke, in his mind, is concerned about all the aliens. Like, it has to come from a place of desperation, because Colt has not been the brightest bulb in the bunch, but, like, I just don't see anywhere else that could come from other than desperation, because that's just silly to think.
I mean, this is desperate time, so not surprising.
But that was a really good catch with the armband. I didn't even think about that. I was like, But yeah, so we see after that, Aaron is still walking slowly to Zeke, and Zeke is still providing covers, because I don't know where Galliard and Reiner are getting this energy from, but Zeke is still taking them out. Like, they think that they've got to sneak up and bite Aaron in the nape, but they're not, because Zeke is still providing that coverage. So Zeke knocks Porco out, and then he looks over to the right, and he sees the Stallion Titan Bones. So he's like, and he not only does he see Stallion Titan Bones, but Flock and his little posse pull up, and they're like, oh, yeah.
These folks are cheering. Like, they actually did something. They like, y'all ain't never did nothing in y'all life.
Oh, my gosh. I felt that was really funny. Like, they up here, you didn't see a single person land a blow. Not a single person. But y'all all are celebrating. Like, one of y'all did it. And
because they don't know how Titans work.
Oh my gosh. Like they deserve what's coming. And I'm not about to give Flock credit. I'm not. But he was the only one who was like, so who took her out? Like, he's the only one who questioned the whole scene. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, so, and he's not smart, but he has.
Ain't dumb.
Yeah, that part. Like, because you see, once they all look around like, oh, we thought y'all did it. He was like, oh, shit, we are in some trouble. So that's when you see Zeke get snuck attacked. And Peek is like, yeah, McGath, this is your chance. And they start just taking out the little wannabe scouts. And then they use the big Titan gun and they shoot Zeke. And we'll get to the little slight differences between the manga and the anime in a minute. But like, it looks like it hits Zeke like right below his neck. And he's like out. So, because he doesn't have the abilities that Aaron has. So there's not all this healing factor or extra protection that he has. So he just starts falling off of the wall. And as he's falling off the wall, it pans and you see so many people's different faces. Because a lot of people think that either Zeke is dead or next to dead. And like you see Yelena, she's like, oh no. You see the OG scouts, they're like, oh shoot. Mm-hmm. You see Aaron, and Aaron looks concerned. They see Maggot, mm-hmm. He's like, yes. So, like, you just see all of these different reactions to it. And Peek, she's like, did we get him? Like, is it over with just about? And they're like, Izzy, Willie, Wony, I don't know. So everybody's trying to process what just happened with Beast Titan. And then Reiner, I don't know what his fetish is with Aaron and getting beat up, but Reiner's like, why are you still going? I'm about to come get you. As the Marlians are planning to try to get to Zeke and actually finish him off. And as this whole calamity is going on, then you have Falco, Gabby, and Colt, and they're running up and they're like, we have to get to him before he screams, because they kind of realize that Zeke is at an enormous disadvantage at this point. But if he screams, he can flip the script. And that's where we go out at before we pick up for next week.
I actually wanted to comment on something in this last scene as well. Like, when Zeke had looked over and he's like, oh, Peek, that's where you met your demise. And he called her Peek-chan, like, you know, showing affection to her. And it was very interesting that, you know, even in this type of dire situation, he's still, you know, referring to her fondly. And so that was something that I noticed.
Because how can you make that tight?
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Like, he thinks this is all for the greater good. And so even though, you know, he's like, Peek-chan, you know, that's where you met your demise. But, you know, he was like, dang, sorry for you. But, you know, me and my brother about to do some good. Like, it's just for a casualty to him. And so it was just really interesting that, you know, it's like he doesn't think, you know, he's the factor here. He doesn't think that, you know, this is all, he's a part of it. I'm like, you know, are definitely a part of the demise of Parody and everything else that's going to happen from this point forward. But it was definitely a great episode, and it unpacked a lot of things and set up a couple of different other things, especially because, like, at the end of the episode, I kind of felt like we were on here as he screamed at the end, and then, like, they cut it off to "to be continued," and I was like, oh God, okay. And so, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, next week. And then next week's episode is called Two Brothers. And so it's kind of also parallel, because you have Zeke and Aaron, then you have Falco and Colt as well. And so that's going to be very interesting to see, like, how the sets of brothers play out together.
Yeah, that is going to be cool to see, because like, and they're both sets of brothers. Like, it's funny because Colt was trying to reach Falco this whole episode, and Aaron's been trying to reach Zeke this whole episode. So there's a lot of parallels between the two sets of brothers. So to see how that's going to play out is going to be pretty interesting. I wonder if they're going to juxtapose the whole episode.
I'm sure. Just because the title being two brothers, and obviously there's two sets of two brothers, I think they're definitely going to do those parallels for the next episode, juxtapose them next to each other. That's why I'm really excited, because I'm like, oh yeah, okay. But yeah, so are you ready to get into our mommy differences of this week?
Yes. Again, the manga and the anime were almost panel for panel this week.
What chapters were they?
It was 118 for the most part. And then it was like a little bit of 119, like a little bit. But it was
117.
Oh, and the end of 117. But then part of 118 was the last episode. So it's kind of all jumbled up. But for the most part, this, like, if you're reading along, then you probably should mostly read 118 and only read 119 if you want to know what's going to happen next week, you know? So the biggest differences that I seen, like, and this is something that I want to talk about when we talk about Titans, because something just came to my head. Because we missing one of my girls. But the biggest differences that I seen were, and like, I know I mentioned this, like when Zeke, it was a little bit the language differences and then some of the artistic differences. Like when, for example, when Aaron was fighting Reiner and Galliard, they look in the manga, they look a whole lot more beat up and damaged than they did in the anime. Like, in the manga, Reiner's head was pretty much, like, detached at the jaw. In the manga, Porco, his face was pretty much smashed in. And where, like, they both took some damage, and the damage, like, in the anime, Reiner, his jaw was unhinged. Or Porco, his mask was broken and he was like laid out on top of the house. But it wasn't quite to the extent, because like in the manga, they look like they are down for the count. But, and they're not. But it looks more like that in the manga. Whereas in the anime, it's kind of like, oh, they got hurt very badly. And then also another Titan got hurt was when Zeke got shot by Magus. In the manga, it looked like it mostly hit like his arm, his back. Like, it didn't look as close to the nape as it did in the anime. Like, it was still a debilitating shot, like, clearly. But when they show, because, like, you know how when Titan users get hurt, the part of the Titan body that gets hurt, especially if, like, it's severe, Titan, the part of the Titan body that gets hurt is also likely to be hurt on the Titan user. So like, and I mean, especially if it hits part of the neck or whatever. So you could tell that it was more of a partial shot to the nape in the anime than you could the manga. Like in the manga, it looks like took part of his like back out or something like that, part of his arm. And it wasn't quite like that. Like the shot through Zeke was more of like a hole in the manga, where it like took a whole chunk out of him in the anime. So those were the major differences that I saw between the two. How about you?
Yeah, you pretty much said everything. The only things, you know, well, the main things that I paid attention to were the language and just how I feel like the manga showed a lot more fear in like some people's eyes. Like I felt with Colt and Gabby it was like their little scene where Gabby was like, let's go fight the Titans. And Cole was like, girl, what are we going to do? Like, how you think we're going to fight some Titans? That's the vibe I got from the manga. But like in the anime, it was more so I felt gentle. And he was just like, Gabby, we're going to leave the Titans to the Titans. But, you know, I'm going to go save my brother. And she's like, okay, you know, I'm going to come with you. But I felt it was a little more like, girl, are you unhinged? And I even felt the same way with Maggot when he was talking about trying to take Zeke out. I felt like he was very desperate and that he was showing that this was personal and this wasn't just about, oh, we gotta take out our enemy, but he was, you know, I think more hurt. Like,
yeah,
this was somebody he like looked at as a son, and I don't like that because I don't think your groomer or your abuser can be somebody who you can idolize and look up to as a parent. I think they just fit that role because they're your abuser, and I do consider McGaff to be in that role. Granted, you know, the grooming begets grooming, and you know, Zeke is a groomer as well for Colt. So, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I do feel,
I mean, nah, but that's real.
Yeah, I do feel that McGaff, you can see it was, he was afraid, and not afraid of Zeke, but more afraid of losing, and afraid of like what would happen if Zeke got the upper hand on them. So I do think the manga kind of show, like, they're, the manga is really good in regards to showing emotions and portraying those, because sometimes I read mangas and I feel that I have to watch the anime to feel more, but I think Attack on Titan does a beautiful job of displaying the emotions with the character's eyes. And we've talked about this before in the last season about how eyes play a huge part in Attack on Titan and how it can show, you know, a lot of life or a lot of lack of life. Because like even in Eren's eyes, and you know, since he's changed, his eyes have become more dull and not as lively as they were when we first saw Eren, when he wanted to, you know, kill all the Titans and be a scout and all of this stuff. So it's just, it is really interesting. And I do think this show, it does a lot to evoke conversation. So great job.
I do want to add one more thing about the manga. So like at the end of the mangas, and I mean, a lot of different mangas do this. And like, you kind of see this like in Black Clover on the anime, where like they do the little shorts and stuff like that. The end of the manga for this week, for like, so 118, like they do this whole thing with like zombies, and Eren has to try to kill all the zombies instead of killing all the Titans, and he still has the same tenacity about it, and it's a little bit funny just to see. And I mean, it's a short little clip, but you see a lot of people that we all know, love, and recognize. And then yeah, so if you're going to read the manga, stick around for that too, because it is kind of cool.
Interesting. That's not in my version, I don't think. But then again, like I said, I am watching, looking at it from a scan from online. So,
go. Where am I reading it at? I'm reading it on ReadSneak. So readsnk.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not reading it on that, but you'll put it in the description.
Yeah.
It, so other people can see it too.
I think it's worth seeing. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
So who do you have for the Titan of the Week?
You know, I never thought I would say this, but my Titan of the Week is actually going to be Zeke. I think Zeke has such a huge presence, and I like the way that that was portrayed in this episode, especially to the point where you could see he was knocked off his pedestal by the end of the episode. Literally. So, I mean, he only wins on my choice this week because everybody else was already starting down bad from last week because they've been going at it for a long time. So Zeke is the only one that's at full strength basically at this point. But I feel like Zeke came and did what he had to do. You know, his goal was to save his brother. His goal was to meet Eren, and he was going to make sure that both of those things happen. And so I admire the strength, because you can tell like this is genetics. Like both of them are very much Grisha's children. And so I give him my Titan of the Week because he alone can definitely do a lot of damage. Just looking at the airships and how he got them all out the air so quickly. And, you know, even how Peek was like, it's not smart to engage the Beast Titan in firefight. And I'm like, it's not, because that's not her strong suit. But she knows, like, you know, Zeke is very strong in regards to combat-wise. And, you know, everybody should take heed to that. But it was really interesting seeing him, like, literally fall from the top of the wall to the ground. And, like, seeing, like you said, seeing everyone's faces and stuff. It was just, I really liked watching that. Because I do think that he needed to be knocked down a couple of pegs, but we'll see how that, you know, follows up next week. But what about you? Who's your Titan of the week?
Oh, and it's funny as you say, we need to see Zeke knock down a few pegs, because I think it's like they've been trying to knock him down a couple of pegs all season. Mm-hmm. And it's just nobody's ever really been successful until that shot. But for my Titan of the Week, and it's kind of difficult because part of me wants to give it to Armin for actually talking sense into everybody. And I know he didn't turn into the Colossal Titan, but I said part of me wants to give it to Armin for his motivation. And then I always want to give it to the Stallion Titan because she, like, literally impresses me every time she's on the screen. Like,
Tactician P.
Like, she is that bitch, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, she's definitely the HBIC.
She's definitely their ace in the hole. Like, you can see, like, you know, she can blend in with the enemy. You know, she plays a part well.
Yeah, so I really want to give it to her, too. But I think I'm going to have to agree with you on Zeke. Just because Zeke was, like, overwhelming to a point in this episode. Like, even when Zeke wasn't on screen, he was still, or actually not, even when Zeke wasn't on screen or wasn't, like, the focal point, because Aaron was still mainly the focal point for everybody, Zeke was still just, his presence was felt, you know? He moved the episode at every single point. So I kind of have to give it to Zeke. Because, like you said, all that damage he did, and, like, Zeke was the Titan of the episode. Like, all the rest of the Titans were kind of background characters. So, yeah. I'll give it to Zeke, too.
Okay. Big Daddy Zeke getting his first win of Black on Time.
Even though he kind of lost it in the episode.
I mean, yeah, but he's his first Titan of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wraps up this episode. So I'm so excited. Do you have, like, any, I know we talked about next week's episode a lot already, but do you have any predictions or, you know, anything that you, I mean, I guess we can't even really do predictions because we kind of know what's going to happen, but.
Allegedly.
Right. Based on, like, the previews, like, what do you expect for next week?
More chaos, calamity, and Aaron wreaking havoc.
Okay. So you think Aaron's gonna wreak havoc?
I mean, I think that I didn't watch the previews this week. I know I got on you boy for that, but I did not watch the previews this week. I think Aaron might not wreak havoc, but Aaron is going to be center to the episode. I feel like things are going to shift back to Aaron, especially when they're talking about the two brothers aspect. And Aaron and Falco are definitely the more important two of the brothers in their respective brother tiers. So, damn, the older brothers suck in this show. But, yeah, I think that Aaron is going to be more of a focal point next week, whatever happens. Okay. How about you?
I think that Aaron and Zeke are going to connect. And if not, I do think that a screen will be scrummed. Something bad is going to happen. I just don't know in which way it's gonna happen. Cause like I've read, but you know, it's still very fuzzy for me. So I just wanna say Zeke's gonna do something, because like I do think there's a lot of focus on making sure Zeke didn't have any energy to muster up. So I do think that Zeke gonna muster up some energy to do something, even if to, you know, get close enough to Aaron or scream and turn everybody into titans that can give him some time to regain his energy. So, and yeah, I just don't. I do want to see the parallels for the brothers, but I don't think anything sweet is gonna happen.
Oh no, it's gonna be all chaos from here on out.
Yeah,
like this whole season is gonna be nothing but, like, you know how like last season, for last first half, whatever you want to call it, the whole time we were like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, especially like after Aaron attacked Marley, and we was just like, oh, like things are about to ramp up. It's about to be just pretty much war and bloodshed. Like that's this part of the season. Nothing but like somebody, we're going to see somebody die on screen every episode from here on out.
Probably.
Even though we pretty much see somebody die on screen every Attack on Titan episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we're really going to see like a lot of death here coming up.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm ready. Thanks. So, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me at Chuck_mate_. And if you find me on one place, you can find me any place. So how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Prima Yana. And you can also find me on my other podcast called Kinda Complicated Podcast, where it's more for the ladies. But if you are a man that wants to better yourself, I encourage you to listen to it as well, because we give out, you know, a lot of cheat codes on just how to be a better individual, and not, like I said, not just women, but just be a better individual, but it is geared towards women. So that's fun. You can find me there as well. And you can also find us, the Black on Titan podcast, at Gmail, and you can do blackontitanaot@gmail.com, and you can send us a message, and we will definitely get back to you if you have any questions or any requests, or you know, you want to talk to us. So
definitely reach out. Don't forget to rate the podcast 5 stars. If you don't, mm-hmm. then you're a flock.
And yeah, and just don't rate us at all, actually.
Honestly, like, don't be flock. Don't be fly. Mm-hmm. We implore you. Rate us 5 stars. And oh yeah, definitely. You can also check us out on Big Titan Talk. We did an episode with our good friend Nay to bring back the season. And it was an awesome episode. Nay's podcast is awesome, as always. And I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. I'm sure Ayana did too. So if you want to hear us rap about last week's episode some more, catch us over on Big Titan Talk.
And we'll put that in the description too.
Definitely. Definitely. I ain't got nothing else, do you?
Nope. And we out.
Peace.